As Van Helsing and John Seward struggle to save Lucy's life from the mysterious illness which assails her, at Seward's asylum, Renfield's behavior becomes even stranger. Dracula.
Arthur! Arthur! Over here! I have a cab waiting. Hurry!
Is your man here?
He is here. And he is afraid. I saw it in his eyes. I've never seen it before.
Oh, Lucy.
In the best of hands. Get in.
Drag it. Quick as a cat. Drag, Governor.
John?
Sir, my lord, is it how I should address you, sir?
Not yet, Doctor. Now, my Lucy?
You love her?
Tell me she will live.
She is very ill. We have no time for politenesses now. Come, come. I tell you, this is dreadful. There is no time to be lost. She will die for her want of blood to keep her heart's action. She has lost so much. There must be a transfusion. So.
You will give her blood?
You will give her blood, Sir Arthur. John, you may assist me.
Of course.
Come along.
Oh, God! So pale. Like...
Alabaster, yes. She is on the edge, dear friend. Come, come. You are to help her. Your courage is the best help.
I would give my life for her, sir. The last drop of blood in my body for her.
I think, my young sir, I do not ask as much as that. Not the last.
Tell me what I must do.
You will have a vein opened, and she too, and we will pass the blood of one to the other. It is her only chance.
I...
Harry, sir, your coat. Oh, kiss her once, if you must, and then let the... John, the scalpel and the...
Of course, Professor.
Good.
See. Very well. I'm ready.
So, we are done, Arthur. Now you must rest, sir.
You have done well, Arthur. Will she be... You see the colour back in her face. She sleeps. Now rest is what she needs most.
My friend. What can I say? What can I do to thank you?
Go, rest, and let her sleep.
John, a word.
I have to go. I have some books to consult.
But she is going to be all right.
I'll show you something. Come closer. You see around her show white neck a velvet band. Very lovely. I move it so. She will sleep with the narcotic I have given her. I show you what?
A small mark on her throat? Mm. Two punctures?
Quite so. Over the jugular vein. Not large, as you see. Not diseased or poisoned in any way, but something unwholesome. Describe to me.
The edges of the wounds are white. Torn a little, as if by trituration.
Good pupil. So?
I don't know.
I will to Amsterdam go this evening. You will remain all night here and not let your sight pass from her. I shall bring some things for the room. There is a market nearby.
Yes, of course. Shall I have a nurse?
We are the best nurses, you and I. Make sure she is well fed and that nothing disturbs her. Later, maybe we may sleep. I shall be back as soon as possible, and then we may begin.
Begin? What do you mean?
We shall see. Remember, if you leave her and harm come to her, you shall not sleep easy hereafter.
Oh, my arm is...
Gently now, Lucy. It is bandaged, that's all.
I feel awake for the first time for months. Where is Professor Van Helsing?
He has gone back to Amsterdam. Oh, excuse me. He will return very soon, he said.
Hmm. Oh, that smell, what is it? Oh, I believe there's some joke here. There's garlic round my bed and garlic flowers. Horrid smell.
You must not move them. On your life, Lucy. He said there is a virtue in these common flowers. Wear them as a protection, he said.
A protection from what?
I don't know. I only know he begged me to ensure that you kept them here, close, and that you did not open the windows. He insisted that I warn you not to open the windows which he has rubbed with garlic, nor to remove the flowers, even if the room becomes very close.
I might begin to think he was working some ancient spell to keep out evil spirits.
Well, nevertheless, please do not remove them.
Oh, very well. Though I feel cured already. And you poor man, have you been watching me all night?
I am told to watch you until he returns. I have my orders.
This is silly, John. I shall be better now. You shall see.
You must eat.
And you must sleep.
I have already told your mother that I shall be staying another evening at least. Oh. But today, I must go back to the country. I have some reports to write.
Please, John, rest.
No, I may not. I will tell your mother that you would like breakfast, and I shall return this afternoon.
Dear John, thank you. I shall write to Mina and tell her what good friends I am blessed with.
I'll go and have a little talk with him. Wait outside, will you, just to be sure?
Right you are, sir.
Mr. Renfield, and how are you feeling this afternoon?
You've been burning the candle at both ends, sir. You look tired out.
I am tired, very.
I've always been of the opinion that tiredness in a doctor is a dangerous thing, both for himself and for his patients.
I had urgent business to attend to.
May I beg a favour of you, Dr. Stewart?
Certainly.
Whatever happens, sir, please don't let them put me in a straitjacket, sir. Please.
Sometimes for your own good.
I'm trying to control myself, Doctor. I have to control. My master says I must.
Your master?
Oh, not for your understanding, sir. My master is close by. He will free me. He promised me.
I see.
No, I think not. You think this is Renfield being mad again, hearing voices. Crazed. I assure you, it is not so. I assure you. Promise me I shall not be in the jacket. Promise me.
I cannot promise.
Help me! He's got a knife! It's... Damn you, sir! Damn! Get off me! Get off! Get him off! In the corner! Kill him! Mind the knife! Hold it! You're cut, sir!
More blood than pain.
What's he doing on the floor?
Oh, God! He's licking up the spots of blood. Oh, God, no.
You're lucky to be alive, John.
Hmm? Oh, no, I was to blame. He was so calm, so gentle. I really felt I was talking to a perfectly normal person, and then suddenly he was at me like a demon.
John, can we please let the smell of this garlic out of the room? Open the window for a moment or two, please. The smell is so strong.
No, I dare not. Forgive me. My professor would be furious. So, time to sleep, Lucy. I shall sit here, and tomorrow Van Helsing will be back, and then I may get an hour's sleep myself, perhaps.
You need to rest, at least. There's a room off this one. You can surely lie on the sofa there and be near enough to satisfy your old teacher.
No, Van Helsing insisted.
I know nothing would induce you to sleep while there's a patient on the horizon. I shall call out if I need anything. I shall not rest easy if you insist on sitting in my room. Please.
Oh, very well. I admit I am exhausted. It is nearly 3 days since I slept.
John? Lucy? Lucy. Oh, darling child. No wonder you can't sleep. The room's like a furnace and the smell of garlic is disgusting. Now, out it can go. And the flowers. Oh, that's what's making you restless, dears. I'll take them out. I'll just peep in on Dr. C. Seward, hmm? Poor, worn-out man. I'll open the window. Let some air in. Let them sleep. Red eyes. I see red eyes. Sleep now, darling. You'll be better now. Mara's taken away those smelly flowers.
Yes, sir?
Good morning. Announce from Helsing, if you please, my dear child.
Yes, sir.
No need. Please come in, sir. Ah. Come in and hear our good news.
My dear Mrs. Weston, you two are looking less tired.
Because your patient is sleeping like a babe. I didn't go in case I disturbed
him. Ah, so? Good. I thought I had diagnosed the case. My treatment is working.
You must not take all the credit yourself, Doctor. Lucy's state this morning is in part due to me.
Explain yourself, please.
I was anxious about the dear child in the night.
Uh-huh.
I went into her room and she was sleeping. The room was awfully stuffy. And I feared the heavy odour of garlic would be too much for a child as weak as she, so I took it all away and opened the window.
Sirab! Sirab!
He was overcome with tiredness, Professor. He had to sleep. He couldn't help himself.
Mrs. Weston, would it be possible for me to have a cup of so nice tea?
Of course. You see the child.
Sirab! John! John Seward! John Seward! John! Seward!
John, I'm sorry. I couldn't help sleeping, sir.
No. 3 nights is too long. So, what is to be done? Oh, what? Oh, look at the child. What have we done to be so... This is a pagan thing, John. The poor mother doing what she knew nothing of... We must not tell her what she has done, or it will kill her for sure. Now, oh, how are the powers of the devils come against us? Act. We must act. Devils or no devils, we fight him. We must fight them all the same. You will give your blood. I am too old. My blood is too thin to be of use. Now, hurry. Too late.
Too late. Too late. Lucy!
She, the flowers gone and the window open. Wait. She has a little life in her.
Lucy!
So, first gain is ours. I see not light in life over her horizon. She is breathing now, Sir Arthur. The shock will kill the mother. Send one of the maids to look after her. We must consult what to do.
I'll see how her mother is. I trust Lucy in your hands. Professor, Have you seen the wounds at her throat? They are horribly white and mangled. Mm. God, cover them before Arthur sees them.
We need more blood. Arthur cannot so soon give again. We need more.
Arthur sent me in. Mm. He's looking pretty rotten. Oh, my God.
Who the devil are you?
We can provide the blood between us. Quincy, just in time.
Fifth Cavalry, that's me. What do you want?
Blood!
John.
The others?
Sleeping. Lucy?
Asleep.
Is she better?
You must know something, my friend. We have lost her. Come. I show you something I hope never to see in my life. She is sleeping now. I have replaced the garlic and the flowers. Too late.
How beautiful she looks.
You think? Yet her face is white. And see? The mouth open. Her teeth, my friend. Look at her teeth.
Why? What is it, man?
See the gums. very pale, and the teeth themselves seem...
pointed? Longer? It's a trick of the light. Nothing.
Do not open the window, my friend, please.
What on earth? Oh, it's a huge bat. See, it's away now, over against the trees.
Yes, yes, I see. I beg you, do not take your eye off your charge. Wait. Oh, my God.
What is it?
Light. I want light. Let me be sure. Look, my boy. Before I cover her neck. Look!
But they have disappeared. The marks, the holes. They've absolutely disappeared.
If I say it is best, you will not understand me. But I tell you, it will not be long now. It will be much difference, mark me, whether she dies conscious or in her last sleep.
Oh, Lucy! Dear Lord, please help her to live and to be loved. Please save her. Please, God.
Come, come, my dear old fellow, all your fortitude. It will be easiest for her.
How can you say that, mister? Easy to lose a love?
Better than what would be left, sir.
Martha. Dear Arthur.
Oh, my love.
Come along, old chap, and leave them.
Oh, never. On my life, never. Arthur. Not yet. Don't kiss yet. Hold her hand.
Yes.
It will comfort her more.
Yes.
Arthur. Oh, my love. I'm so glad you've come. Kiss me. Kiss me. Hold me and kiss.
My dearest.
Never. Never. Not for your life. Not for your living soul and hers. No.
Kiss me.
He shall not. He shall not.
Please. Please. Oh, allow.
No. No, sir. No.
Sir, thank you, my true friend. Guard him. Give him peace.
I swear it. Come, Arthur. Take a hand and kiss her on the forehead. And only once, only once.
We thought of dying whilst she slept and sleeping when she died. Oh, well, poor girl. There is peace for her at last. It is the end.
Not so, alas. It is only the beginning.
It's a privilege to attend on her, indeed.
Please, go.
Go, sir. She will be a credit to our establishment. Beautiful corpse, sir. She is laid out as the foreign gentleman asked.
Right. Now do as this poor man asks and leave us, sir.
Just to be sure the formalities have been seen to, authorities notified and so on, sir.
I am a doctor. I assure you we have done everything necessary.
Very well, then. Tomorrow morning, 9 sharp. Will there be many mourners?
Not many, good day, sir.
It's tragic when a mother dies after her own daughter. Sad.
She had a weak heart, sir.
In the name of go away, sir. Go!
Flowers?
Go!
If that will be all. Mute.
Halt! For... Such a man! Now, Arthur, you must be busy to take your mind from it all. Eh? I have no doubt you have things that must be done. John and I will sit with her. Quincy will come with you.
Sure.
Are the lawyers to see you?
Yes.
They had no one to send them.
Oh, bear up, Arthur.
Gentlemen, may I go and see? Cook and I wanted to pay our respects.
Yes, of course.
Tell the truth, sir. Some of the neighbours have already been. They were well liked. I don't know what's to become of Cook and me.
You shall get good references, be sure of that.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, I'm sure.
You're right, Hilsinger. I shall busy myself, gentlemen.
Quincy, I'm right here.
Now, what are you hiding from me?
Hiding? Hiding from my such best pupil? Never.
You're not telling me everything.
I have been through all her papers. Do you know she wrote a letter last night, an account of what occurred?
I failed her, it seems.
Oh, no. There were forces abroad then that you could never defeat. No blame, John, no. I'm searching this morning to find all papers she has written, diaries, and so on. Before anyone should find... I will read a little, and you may understand. I was wakened by the flapping at the window, which had begun after that sleepwalking on the cliff at Whitby. I tried to go to sleep, but could not.
I was afraid to sleep, and yet, perversely, sleep would come on when I did not want it. I looked out of the window and heard a sort of howl, like a dog's. And then a big bat buffeted his wings against the window yet again. Mother came in, and I was as if asleep. She took the garlic flowers placed by the nice professor and closed the door into the room in which John Seward lay sleeping. Having opened the window, she left. I watched
as a myriad of little specks seemed to come blowing through the open window. I remember nothing more until the air seems full of specks floating and circling and lights burn blue and dim. What am I to do? God shield me from harm this night. Goodbye, dear Arthur, if I should not survive this night... God keep you dear and help me. I feel so cold.
Dear God.
Indeed. So, I search for her papers, everything. Already I put with her a crucifix from my own mother. It will give her some protection.
Even now?
Even now, my friend, yes. And from the kitchen we will bring more garlic where I put it before. And this evening, my friend, bring here a set of post-mortem knives.
A post-mortem? In secret?
Of a sort, my friend, of a sort.
He seems to be bearing it well enough, John. God knows it's a dreadful business. A mother and a daughter together.
It was to be expected from the mother, Quincy. Her heart was... well, frail.
Is he about?
The professor... He's just gone in to sit with her.
All night? Is this some old English custom or what?
Well, he says it's to protect her.
My word, but he is a strange man.
Who took it? Who?
Professor, please don't shout, sir. Took what?
Shout! I shout that... That poor girl left defenseless. Too late for your knives and your post-mortem and... Someone took the crucifix from the dear girl. Too late now for protecting her. Now we have lost her. Now we must, with all haste, to the burial, and then, after watching,
waiting, praying. Arthur, I have grown to love you, my dear boy. I have a favor to ask you.
If it concerns my dear Lucy, I know she trusted you. I do the same, sir.
I ask permission to read Miss Lucy's paper and letters, and not from idle curiosity. She would have approved, I believe. I have them with me ready to return if you insist. I will not show them to you yet, or to a soul. But through them, I can see into her soul.
You must do as you think right. You will tell me when the time is right.
Yes. This Miss Murray, I would like, if possible, to have words with her. You can find her, this Miss Mina.
I will try.
So. We arrive. It will soon be done for the moment.
I think, sir, if you would be kind enough to give me your arm, I...
Of course.
What did you mean, for the moment?
Nothing.
Jonathan, darling, you wear me quite out.
I'm so happy, my dear Mina, for the first time since that dreadful night.
No, Jonathan, not a word about it. Just thank God for the generosity of dear Mr. Hawkins. We have been so lucky, my darling.
I never thought to be left the whole practice and the house. It was generous indeed. So, I know he would not be unhappy for us to celebrate. We shall walk in Green Park, take in a theatre perhaps, and then dine at wherever Mrs. Harker shall decide.
Mrs. Harker. Oh, I like the sound of that so much. Mrs. Harker. Oh, Jonathan, to tell the truth, I would like a quiet evening with you. And nothing more than a turn in the cathedral close at home in Exeter. And you playing the piano for me. Jonathan? Jonathan, are you listening? What is it?
The other side of Piccadilly. On the corner. Under the lamp. See the man in the doorway watching. See the tall old man with the girl.
The beautiful young girl in grey and silver, huh?
Behind them, see? Standing. Watching them.
The man with the pale face, yes. You know him, my dear.
I am sure it is he. The man himself. I swear it. Count Dracula. But somehow changed.
Jonathan, dear, we have done too much. You're overtaxed.
I know what I am seeing. The dreadful thing is, see... He moves closer as they get into that cab. He follows after. Dear God. The dreadful thing is, he's younger. Years younger. Oh, God. Help me.
In episode 4 of Dracula by Bram Stoker, dramatized for radio by Nick McCarty, the cast was as follows. Mina was played by Phyllis Logan, Dr. John Seward by Peter Blythe, Arthur Homewood by Crawford Logan, Van Helsing by Finlay Welsh, and Lucy by Sharon Maharaj. Adams was played by Tom Smith, Renfield by David McHale, Jonathan Harker, Bernard Holly, Quincy, Paul Burchard, Mrs. Westenra, Stella Forge, the maid, Alexa Kesselaar, and the undertaker, Peter D'Souza. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The theme and incidental music was composed and created by Malcolm Clark in the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. The producer in our Edinburgh studios was Hamish Wilson.